He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
I'd like to read to you today from John chapter 15, first 8 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This illustration is one of those illustrations that's so very straightforward. We know right off the bat that he is talking about how we stay connected to Jesus, about finding ways in which we can stay close to and connected with Jesus. Because as he says, he is the vine that bears fruit. An illustration that tells us for that time that he's probably talking about the grapevine from which they would make the wine of that area. And the great thing about this illustration is you don't have to be a horticulturalist. You don't have to be an expert in plants and vines in order to understand this passage. We get this. We know how important and necessary it is for us to stay connected with Jesus. It's why we're here in worship today. It's why we have opportunities to read Scripture throughout the week, is we desire to stay connected to the one who has loved us and has promised to be with us. And so there's a kind of like, so when I read this illustration, three major points kind of came to mind to keep in mind with an illustration that seems so straightforward, with an illustration that seems like it's just so easy to say, yeah, I get this. The first thing for me is that my only experience really with a vine is at Lighthouse School of all places. Here in Maine, when I was working at South Portland at Lighthouse School, there was a vine that continued to grow every single season. We would get vines growing around the fence around one of our children's play areas. And this was an invasive vine. It's not native to Maine. It's a real hassle. And so we try to pull that up and we try to get rid of that. And every single year, it would come up again. And I would say to the person we had hired to help with the grounds crew for the property, we'd say, hey, can you help get some of that out? He's like, yeah, I can try, but I'm having a hard time with it. And all the properties too, that vine just stays. It is always there. Every single year it comes back. And that's what I found, that vine, even though the kids loved it, they would be playing out, and all of a sudden they'd see that just winding up the fence, and they'd get all excited, and they start going over there and playing with it too. But it was always there, incessant and resilient. And so I found myself thinking, as I looked at this passage, that to be tied to the vine is, if nothing else, to be consistent. To be consistent, to be that one who always at all times knows that as a follower of Jesus or as a Christian, that I'm going to be true to the faith. To be consistent means to be true to this faith, both in the church, but of course outside of the church as well. When times are hard or when times are easy, to know that we are going to be true to the faith that Jesus Christ has given us. Consistency is keeping at it again and again and again. But of course, to be consistent, we need that support structure, right? Like even vines, they ideally like to grow up something, some kind of support structure. My wife's favorite baseball team is the Chicago Cubs. And about 100 years ago, the owner, Wrigley, tried something to try to boost attendance. Said, hey, let me put some vines on the outfield wall. And of course, those just exploded and grew. And now Wrigley Field is famous for the vines on their outfield wall. But vines love to have some kind of structure with which to grow. And if they have that structure, indeed, they will thrive and they will grow. And so for us as well in this church, we want to be able to support each other, but have indeed ways in which we can stay connected with Jesus. And we believe that can happen through some of the discipleship that happens in this church. Of course, through our worship, but also by being involved in our Sunday school that we do, being involved in the scripture reading practice we've encouraged with you every single week through that intersections bulletin insert, through different ways in which we can say, let me find ways that's being tied into the ways in which Jesus will speak to me, to be consistent, that God would indeed allow us to grow. Early on in Jen and I's marriage, I started running. I started running, and I was doing lots and lots of miles. I said to her, "Hey, I might, if I keep this up, I might do the Chicago Marathon." I was like, "I'm just going to start running." So you can say, since Jen and I have been married for 21 years, that I have been running for 21 years. But one thing I have not been is consistent. I could not call myself a runner. Not at all. I couldn't do it because I have not been consistent. Last year was the last time, actually, I was running. And last year, I remember going by one of my neighbor's house, and my neighbor invited me to eat some apples from their tree in their front yard. They said, "Hey, this tree starts growing apples. Would you like some apples?" They were picking some. And I said, "Yeah, when I come back from my run, I'll be good and hungry, and I'll pick one up that time." And I said, "I didn't know you had an apple tree in your front yard." And the neighbor said, "Neither did we. It just started producing apples this year. We had no clue that this was an apple tree." And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? And this is kind of brings to this kind of second point of this whole illustration, right? To be tied to this vine is to bear fruit. To be tied to the vine means that you're going to bear fruit, showing that you are connected to Jesus Christ. To bear fruit means letting people know what kind of Christian you really are. Sometimes in my conversations with people, when someone finds out I'm a pastor, because, you know, it's pretty common to ask what people do and what, they'll say, oh, I'm a Christian too. Because, and on occasion, that line surprises me. Now, most time people are saying that. It's just another way to relate with me or another way to talk. But sometimes, every now and again, it surprises me. Because, well, the fruit hadn't appeared yet. Didn't know. Just had no clue. My hope and my prayer is that when I say something like I'm a pastor or something, someone might say, "Oh, I thought so." But I say that, but because I have a role, it's a little bit easier for, you know, but hopefully it's not just me being able to say, "Hey, I'm a pastor," but Christian, because, okay, when I say like I'm a pastor, you know, Christians kind of just assumed with that. But my hope is that our lives will be lived in such a way that even if we just say, "I'm a Christian," or if we say, "I'm someone who cares about what Jesus is doing in our world," or "I'm someone who goes to this church here in Cape Elizabeth," that people might say something like, "Well, I thought so," based off the fruit that is being produced. There was, in the first parsonage we ever lived in Illinois, there was an apple tree in the backyard. And Eric, when he was just a little bit younger than Alex, loved climbing on this apple tree. It was great. Apples would fall off of it. We could get apples. We made applesauce. We made all kinds of things with it, apple pies, just loved it. And it produced tons of apples for the first few years that we were there. The only downside to it was I had to pick them up before I mowed, otherwise the backyard would look like applesauce. But it was great. It was wonderful. We loved having that apple tree. But one year it didn't produce any apples. And the next year wasn't producing any again. And we looked, and sure enough, we found out the tree was dying. It was on its last breath, and it could not be salvaged. And so some people in the church got together with me, and we decided to kind of to take down the apple tree. And believe it or not, we brought that tree down with a watering hose. Here's how it happened. So a guy comes up, and he's got his little chainsaw, and he's working on it, and he's cut off some big branches, and he's like, okay, let me work on that. He starts working on some of the trunk, and we know we need this tree to fall a certain way. The last thing we want is for it to fall like on the fence of our neighbor's yard and destroy that. So we're like, how are we going to do this? Someone said, well, if you had a rope, you can kind of put it across the tree, and we kind of pull it as it's falling and help guide it to fall where we wanted it to fall. And I said, sure. And I said, so Tim, do you have any rope? I said, no, I don't have rope. Oh, well, how are we going to do this? And I said, I have a really long garden hose. And we wrapped this garden hose around a tree. And I found myself, as we're pulling to help guide how it falls, as he makes the last couple cuts with the chainsaw on this tree, I found myself, man, if this doesn't work, what am I going to say to the neighbors? Sorry, the garden hose wasn't strong enough. Like, what are we thinking here? But it worked. And we guided the tree down. And then another church member said to me, he said, hey, as they were cutting up, he said, hey, can I take some of those, some of that wood back home? And I said, sure, what are you going to use it for? He's like, I'm going to use it to smoke some of the meat in my grill. This is going to be perfect. Some applewood smoked meat. This is great. And so like any good pastor to his church member, I said, yeah, you can have some if you invite me to the grill. and I can affirm the meat was really good with the smoked apple wood. And so this brings us to kind of where this illustration is wrapping up, right? The third point is there is a warning for those who are connected to Jesus and don't bear fruit. For a long time, the church has used kind of fear tactics for their evangelism. I remember when I was a kid, there was entire programs based around this. You better get right with God or else what's going to happen to you. You know, better believe or else there is fire in store for you. Now, I don't doubt the warnings that are present in Scripture. But sometimes I think we need to take a closer look at just how it's said. So my neighbors here in Cape Elizabeth have taken to doing some kind of controlled burns in their backyard. They'll call, they'll make sure it's not too dry, but with permission. And they've kind of been pushing back on some of the woods and the brush that had been encroaching on their property. So they've done some kind of controlled burns. And doing that has made room for them to put a little swimming pool in their backyard. For their son, they put up a little tree house, and Alex has climbed up there with him already. And generally, they just cleared out a lot of the brush around them and some of the trees. Part of that project has led to many branches and logs also being moved, and they take it to the front of their driveway, and they have these little like bonfires at night, and they invite the neighborhood over, and they'll cook hot dogs and s'mores and whatnot, and so their work clearing out the backyard allows them to kind of like host the neighborhood for a moment. And they've often invited us over to cook hot dogs over the fire, just hang out. But you know one thing that these neighbors have never done? They haven't burned any excess brush in our yard. They haven't even said, hey, do you want us to do a control burn in your yard? They haven't even offered. I know. The branches in danger of fire are the branches in their own yard. And in this illustration that Jesus gives, the branches in danger of the fires aren't the people who've never heard of Jesus. They aren't the people who don't share our faith in Jesus. They are the ones who are connected to Jesus but don't bear fruit. They are the ones for whom their faith doesn't produce any fruit. Can you imagine if the classic warnings about fire and punishment that the church generally, and specifically a lot of evangelical churches, are so well known for, were actually directed not to those outside the walls of the church, but to those inside the walls of the church. Way of saying, if you are connected to Jesus, if you are a part of His body, if you are a part of His church, and you don't produce fruit, well, S'mores anyone? I mean, this is the illustration, right? And so if there are a few things we might take away from this analogy. Remember, one first is be consistent every single season. People should be able to know what to expect from us. Let our faith grow regularly, that the world would see who we are. Let us stay connected to the vine. Let us stay connected to the support structures that allow us to stay close to Jesus. And the second, of course, is to bear fruit, to let people know that we're a fruit-bearing tree, that people won't be surprised. Oh, wait a minute, I had no clue when we say that we're a follower of Jesus or that we're a Christian. I like I said before, I can't say I'm a runner. I'm not. I don't run with any kind of frequency. If I say I've been running for the last 21 years, yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch, but not with any kind of frequency. And in the same way, I think sometimes we do that with our faith. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for a long time. Not that I've been practicing for a while, but it's just what I've been doing. We need to bear fruit that indeed the world would know and be able to receive the good grace that God wants to share with the world through us. And the last thing is maybe it's better for the church if we didn't always if we stop using fear tactics for those outside the church. That perhaps we can talk about the grace and the goodness that God wants to give, and that could make all the difference. You know, when it comes to inviting my children as they were growing up through the years, when they were little and they were getting ready to see their grandparents, we were going to go visit with them. You know. I was encouraging them to see the grandparents, because they didn't see them every single week. They didn't see them every single month. You know, we've always lived kind of far away. I didn't tell them, oh, go greet them with a hug by telling them, you know what, when I was growing up, it was a different time, and those people used to spank my butt. I didn't tell my kids that, no. I knew that wouldn't warm them up to their grandparents. No, I talked to them about everything they have to look forward to. About how great it was going to be to be with them, and how great it was to get grandparent snuggles, and how great it was to, and how much fun they were going to have. And let's be truthful, my parents would never, ever, ever spank their grandchildren. Not only is it a different time, but if there were to be anyone in danger, it would be me, not them, ever, not the grandchildren. In church, we got to stop imposing. And I'm saying this as a general church. We have to stop imposing our warnings on other people. Stop saying, oh, the warning that Jesus has here for those who are connected to him but aren't bearing fruit, how quickly we say, oh, wait, if I'm not bearing fruit, I better deflect that warning to somebody else. It can't surely be me. It's got to be the people outside the church. All this, and that doesn't welcome them in. That doesn't help them realize that there is a Savior who has a desire and a future and a hope and love for them. So all this begs the question, what kind of fruit are we supposed to be bearing? If there is a God who has loved us and cared for us and still loves this fallen world and everyone in it, what kind of fruit are we supposed to be bearing? How are they supposed to know about this God? How might he want his people to respond to grace? And Jesus refers back to this illustration in just a few verses when he talks about the kind of fruit we can bear. So I'm going to read for you, and I know I don't have it on the screen. I'm just going to read for you from verses 16 and 17. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other." That's it. That's the fruit. The fruit that we have that speaks about the God who has been gracious and loving is the fruit that makes us gracious and loving. And to be loving is not just to be nice. It sure includes that. But to be loving is to respect and honor someone as much as you would yourself. It's to look at them and never to think, what can I do or what can I get away with or how might I take advantage of, but always to be, how might I serve and how might I show this person that they are important, not only to me, but to God as well. To love each other and to say that you deserve everything that I have ever enjoyed or known as well, that you are important and you matter. Love each other. That is his command. That is the fruit that ultimately shows that our lives have been touched by a God whose love knows no bounds. And by that, we invite people into a promise, not into a fear, into a hope, into some good news for their life and for where they are right now. This day, how fitting it is that this day is a day that we're going to have communion together. It is where we drink from a juice that comes from the vine. A reminder that indeed we are joined to the vine that is Jesus Christ. That we can take part in the promise of God for us in this life and the life to come. That we can commit indeed to the command that God has given us to love each other. So let us come this morning to the vine. Let's drink heavily of His grace and be consistent in the way in which we bear fruits of love for the salvation of our world. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today I hope that this illustration that Jesus used and spoke so clearly to His disciples that has been preserved for all these years, that Lord, it would speak to us as well. Perhaps, Heavenly Father, as illustrations often do, it has spoken in some way to someone here, and perhaps in a different way than you've brought to my mind. Heavenly Father, I pray that indeed You draw us closer to You. I pray indeed that however it is that You have allowed this illustration to kind of resonate with us or sit with us today, that Lord, You would draw us closer to You and help us indeed to be the Christians that bear the fruit that You would desire, that would show indeed the love that You have lavished upon us. That indeed, as we are reflecting that the fruit that grows would nourish the lives and souls of those around us. Heavenly Father, thank You again. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.